Welcome back to Stop Sweeping It Under the Carpet with Jacqueline Francis. So today I'm bringing you a session about the hidden secrets of female genital mutilation. I have a guest by the name of Peril Begum. So this is all uncut, so please do bear with us. And again, also to mention the fact that we're actually in the position where it's activism against gender-based violence. So this is quite apt to be talking about during this time. So please do take a seat, have a cup of tea, and listen to the conversation between Peril Begum and myself.
How are you doing? I hope that you are all well. Welcome to Stop Sweeping It Under the Carpet. And I have a special guest with me today, Peril Begum. And our topic today is the hidden secret FGM, arranged and also arranged and forced marriages. So before we start all of that, Perel, get your name right. Okay, so you can just share with our audience and our viewers what you do. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So my name is Peril Begum, and thank you very much, Jacqueline, for inviting me. I worked in 20 years in social care, social services, local authorities, national charities, with lots of young people, young women, issues, very issues that are near to our hearts. So forced marriage, early marriage, sexual exploitation, the whole range of refugee and asylum seeking. And I've been involved in lots of campaign work in early years of my career. When I was a youth worker, I worked extensively in Tau Hamlets, campaigning against FGM forced and also forced marriages, which I'm glad now everything is legislation. So but talking about, I've also been doing child protection training on behalf of the freedom organization called Freedom from Abuse. So we look at prevention work against sexual exploitation and sexual harms and abuse. So that's another piece of work I've been involved. So that's kind of brief background about me.
Okay, so let's just jump straight in there, really. So the first subject topic that we're going to talk about is FGM, which is female genital mutilation. Now, I personally know a little bit about it, but this is your area of expertise, as you have just said. So for those viewers who don't know, tell us what it is exactly and why is it carried out?
Well, it is shocking what is happening in the world, and especially certain countries, how female have been mutilated. And it's shocking because every time I talk about, I go emotional because I can exactly visualize what's going on because I work with some of those victims and professionals. People believe is give reason is cultural, religious, a social issue, social practice. It's not cultural, it's not religious at all. It is a mindset. People go certain belief system that, this is need for girls' protection. It's not protecting, is abusing.
So where did it originate from then? What countries are
This
we talking
is
about?
happening in Africa. 88% comes from Africa. It happens in Africa. East Africa, 53%, West Africa, 20%, North Africa, 14%, and Asia is 7%. So in East Africa is the huge practice going on. And it's not just happening in Africa. We're living in UK. Huge practice in UK that, is taking place. I mean, I was looking at some of the statistics. In England and Wales, 103,000 people, age big girls 15 to 49 are at risk. And 10,000 girls 0 to 14 years are at risk. So it's a huge, huge population.
So what's the significance of FGM? Do you know what I mean? I know that there's another term that they use. They call it the people may know it as the cut. What's the
So, how is happens. So is when children or girls are young, this happens when they're newborn, childhood, just before marriage or during pregnancy even done. They do four types. One is removing your clitoris or part of it or fully.
Mm.
Narrowing the vaginal opening.
Mm.
It is horrific to talk about it.
I know it's horrific to talk about it, but
So one is removing part or full clitoris. Second is removing the clitoris plus part of the labia. Third is narrowing the vaginal opening. Fourth is other harmful practices that include burning.
Right. And how? What's the? You talked about the age group, maybe yeah. from childhood, from when you're a child.
Newborn.
Up until the age of 15, you said? 14 or 15?
No, so I was giving examples some of the age group in England, but throughout in the world is done newborn, childhood, so like any age after newborn, before marriage, and even during pregnancy.
Right. Yes. So it's a cultural thing, as you said, it is a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So by doing this to the girl child, what are they presenting them for? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? I'm not sure whether that.
Mindful for people who do, they think they're protecting the girl, so they don't get abused. You know, by men, for example, closing down something. And also, for men, they prefer more sexual pleasure than women. I mean, look at the laws, cutting down clitoris.
Mm.
What the women, when they grow up women, what pleasure they get.
It is
abusing as a woman, is abusing a child, is taking that freedom from a woman to enjoy sexual life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I see as completely, it's not easy cultural practice, but actually is an excuse. You know, it's male-dominated world.
Mm.
And female doing to female, because it became a practice in certain communities, they think, and in their mindset, are we protecting the girls? Are we protecting the girls? My question to all the women who actually helping to perform, like grandmothers, performing on grandchildren, you know, granddaughters.
So the mothers, I guess it's the mothers and the female members of the family that initiate this.
Yeah.
Okay, so is it as prevalent as it was then? Is it still as prevalent now?
It's still prevalent now, even though, for example, UK is a legislation now that, recent legislation came in 2015, which is a serious crime act, gives 14 years of imprisonment for somebody who carries out the act on girls.
Right.
So and far as I know, I haven't seen any conviction of FGM as yet. Why? It's because because if it's done by your mom and dad, your grandparents, would you report it?
Right.
How many girls would report saying, or even if they report it, would they say their mom or dad done it? No. Because it's done by close family member, it's not reported who's done it.
Right. So for those, we've got a few people watching. So for those of you who have just joined us, my name is Jacqueline Francis, and I have my special guest here, Barul, that's explaining to us what FGM is. I must warn you that there are some explicit content, so please be prepared to hear some explicit content which she does mention. You talked about FGM, or the word cut that is normally used on babies and girls up to the age of 14, 15, and originated back in Africa and other Eastern countries, I think you mentioned.
East Africa is that huge, yeah.
Yeah. So, what do the mothers think? What do the mothers and the women because you say it's the women who initiate this.
Yeah.
What is their thought process?
Their thought process is obviously they want girls to be virgin. They want girls to be, you know, like when they get married, their girls, their other family knows that, you know, girls is not been having any sexual activity before marriage. But also their thing is protecting them from, you know, getting raped and you know, so people belief system is that's where it start from. Like we protecting the girl and we protecting, you know, their dignity. Is it, my question is, are you protecting the girl, are you protecting the dignity? No, you're taking the freedom away. And this is dangerous practice. I mean, that when I read the medical, you know, side of it, it is dangerous. People, you know, it's caused serious pain, shock, bleeding, infection, organ damage, blood, you know, losses, death, even certain cases, death.
Right, right. Yeah? Okay. So for those of you who are joining us, please, if you do have any questions that you want to ask, please do drop it in the comments box. And of course, we'll try and answer your, well, I won't, you will try, Maril will try and answer the questions for you. Yeah, you just going back to what you just said, you mentioned the side effects. Yeah. If you can tell us a little bit about the side effects of FGM.
Yeah. So first of all, I was the huge side effect is mental as well as physical. The emotional trauma a girl goes through. You know, and the physical issues is, you know, having difficulty on urinating, incontinence, vaginal infection, kidney problem, problem with period, cyst, pain during intercourse, infertility, even infertility, complication during pregnancy and childbirth. You know, the list goes on. The amount of impact. I mean, I worked with some of the gynecologists in Royal London Hospital in my early years of career, where we work with like a huge Somali community in Tamlis. We were one of the organization, actually a charity, I will not mention the name, that were campaigning, that was about 10, 15 years back, about against FGM, raising awareness, inviting member of the community and leaders to come together with parents and children, because we used to run Children Voice Project, where lots of young women used to come together just to have a debate. The stories we used to hear from the gynecologists is shocking, because they used to do, they do correction. I mean, NHS been really forefront. Anybody, any victim, they go through, NHS is supportive. They go to a special clinic for that. Right. And there are certain gynecologists help with that.
So could you give me an example of some of the stories that you have heard, you know, that's been shared with you? Can you give us an example?
Okay. Example of a young woman who just got married. She had to, before she got married, she had to go through the procedure with doctors because she was really scared that when she get married, she will have problem with the intercourse. It is a painful procedure.
Yeah.
She had to go through counseling. You know, when we started working with her, she started to reveal slowly what's happened in her life and when it was happened, very early age. And her feelings and some of the things she went through, discomfort.
From,
you know, passing urine, period pain. I mean, very... she went through very personal details of the pain she went through. It is, I think, as a caseworker or working with young people raising their voice, yes, you have to be professional, but same time, you are a woman. You are a human.
Of course. Because can I just mention, because these, you know, when they're doing the cutting, so to speak, they're not taking the child to the hospital. It's there's no medical equipment being used. So how, I mean, without getting into too much detail, how much, what type of equipment are they using? If it's not
blade knives, you know, this girl or young woman who was describing, she was, you know, she was in Somalia when it happened. You know, a couple of women got together, her grandmother and daddy. You know, keeping her, and she was screaming and shouting. Nobody listened. She was face down, and the, she was held, and they done it. That's how our description is.
So what do you want to see now? I mean, I know that, I, you know, you're saying now it's against the law here in the UK, and if someone is found to have committed this crime, because it is a crime, you know,
it's a crime. Yeah.
That they will be sentenced for at least 14 years.
14 years imprisonment, yeah.
Imprisonment. But what you're saying is, I mean, for your own personal opinion, do you think it's still happening? Because you're saying
it's
that
still happening. It's still happening. Yeah, I mean,
in
what
UK.
Finally, in UK, from this year, the FGM is became part of the national curriculum with PHSE.
Okay, right.
Yes,
right.
So to raise awareness, which I'll talk about a bit more on that. I mean, I don't think even with the legislation is going to go away until our community members, you know, so that is taking place, change their mindset. And changing mindset, we need to do more awareness raising every part of the country, not just in one part where the majority of the population lives. You know, otherwise it's still gonna happen.
Yeah. I think we, as you said, we need to have conversations like we're having now. You know,
yes, more conversations.
Yeah, because I mean, it's against a child's human right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You are, as it
it's
said,
child abuse. Your children are child abuse.
Exactly. And you know, and it's for the mothers and the females. I mean, I don't know what part the men play in this. I mean, I guess they just leave it to the women.
Yeah.
I mean, do they play a role?
Well, men, I suppose, men, you know, men, I see as a man, what you call, get the, all the pleasure. If you look at from, sexual pleasure perspective, for men, yes, I'm marrying a virgin.
Right.
You know, somebody hasn't touched it. You know, her opening is small.
Right.
There's lots of sexual pleasure, you know, from men perspective. I mean, I see that as it started by men probably many decades ago because they wanted a female without touch. That's how I see it from female perspective. Then he was taken as a different way. Yes, women see as a, I'm protecting my girl because then nobody going to touch you, nobody going to, you know, there's lots of abuse going on, lots of rapes happen, oh, we're protecting the girl so she, you know, she'll be more protected. Actually not. Is not protection, and that's the concept we have to take away from people's mindset, especially women. I think women can support women when mothers and grandmothers, you know, rise against it.
Yeah.
I don't think men can enforce it.
Yes,
you know, yeah. So it becomes a practice. Women doesn't see as an issue, so they enforce in their girls. Yeah, it's happening long time, and it's our culture. So their excuse, oh, it's our culture. Culture is not an experience. It's not religious. You know, it's not religious at all. Right?
Yeah, there's no purpose. There's no,
no.
purpose for it.
No.
So, okay.
Yeah, and there's no medical reason either.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah. Again, you're taking somebody's parts away. You're taking an organ away. You know, putting somebody in a, you know, some cases the death happens if the procedure goes wrong, you know. Doing in babies. And all the complication, you know, childbirth is the biggest issue for people who went through, you know, the procedure.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's an interesting topic. And as you said, I think it needs to be talked about more. You know, for those of you who are listening, who have just jumped on, we're talking about the hidden secret of FGM, you know, and how it is child abuse, you know, and it's something that needs to be talked about openly, because these things will be happening behind closed doors. But the good thing here in the UK that it is against the law, and that there is a 14-year prison sentence, you know, if you are found to be, you know, breaking the law, so to speak. Okay, so let's move on to our second topic, and that's...
Can I just finish off just saying that there are help available?
Yes.
Anybody affected, NSPCC have 24-hour helpline.
Yes.
Do you want me to read out the number, or are you going to put it under after the?
You can read out the number, but then you can always go back in the comments box and put it in the comments.
Okay. Yeah. So NSPC, I mean, we got a center for FGM. Also, NSPC got 24-hour helpline, which is 0800-028-3550. Also, anybody affected in other countries, I mean, law protects any resident, not just citizen. Any resident lives here and perform in any other countries. And there's a foreign and commonwealth office number as well. So if anybody abroad, they can also ring and get support as well.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are help available. Also, this year, in July, the multi-agency guideline has been republished and is became an interagency framework as a child protection issues. So is there anybody, is everybody's duty to report any FGM, anybody at risk of FGM is all of our duty.
Yes.
Whether it's person in the community, anybody is our duty. If you know something happening, if you don't report it, you could be legally liable for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, thank you for that. So don't forget to leave those details in the comments after we come off air. Okay, so if we can move on to, I mean, time runs away quite quickly when, you know, you're talking such an interesting topic.
Yeah.
So I want to move on to the subject of arranged marriages and forced marriages.
Yes.
But some people think they're the same thing. So if you can just explain to us the difference between the two.
Yeah, sure. Arranged marriages happens in the community and it's still happening where consent are given by both sides, you know, men and women, and there's no pressure. So parents find the girl or a boy, family talk together, girls and boys like each other, and it happens. Forced marriage is totally opposite. Forced marriage is, you know, it's not just two people not giving consent, but if you pressurize your girl and boy to give consent, that also a force. Because consent is not that issue because it's pressure.
Yes. So can I just point out, I mean, as we know, it's Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. And I talk a lot about, you know, domestic abuse with intimate partners and maybe family members. But I know, you know, there are other types of abuse that come under that umbrella. And one of them is forced marriages. So, you know, if you can just continue, forced marriages, why would families force two people together and they don't know each other? What's the significance of that?
Okay. So forced marriage happened in Middle East, Latin America, Asia, you know, Europe. I mean, child marriage itself is a global pandemic, according to United Nations and UNICEF. You know, Niger has the highest child marriages. And that I just picked up from Freedom United News. Now, over 700 million women alive today were married as a child.
Okay, so what age group are we talking about? I know child, but
So child considered under the age of 18.
Under the age of 18.
Yeah. It's shocking to see worldwide. I'm just giving you some worldwide figure before I talk about UK.
Yeah.
7 million women alive today were married when they were a child, which is 11 times population of UK.
Wow, that's huge.
It is huge, and some countries people believe getting their girl married to an older man mean offering protection for the girl. No, that is abuse. That is child abuse. Okay.
Yes.
Child abuse. This man could have 7 wives. You know. And is still getting married to a young girl because he won the pleasure.
Yes.
Lots of child marriage happening is because men wanted it.
Right.
Life is a man world. That's how, it's happened because of the, I mean, one of the figures was shocking. In Bangladesh, for example, 47% of the married girls face partner violence, physical violence, emotional violence, sexual violence.
So they already know from a young age, because I suppose their parents would have told them that, you know, this is what, it's almost as if you just, if you have a child, then you know that child is not going to be yours. It's going to be handed to somebody else as their wife, as a child. You know, it's very difficult to comprehend that.
Yeah.
you know,
and then the things going on in a child brain, they are more likely to endure physical, emotional, sexual, and slavery abuse, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know, sometimes it goes into slavery as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if we talk about UK, even though we got legislation here, it still is happen, because sometimes girls doesn't come and, you know, tell until they're 18. You know, I know when I was working, I mean, I did lots of post-mysy work even when I was a student. I was a youth worker in town, homeless in the community. According to UNICEF, certain countries, child mysy is still very high. I mean, Bangladesh, if I go back, 1929, the child mysy was, the legislation passed. In 1984, it was, re-looked at it. But child mysy still is a huge scale. It's still happening.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you're saying it's a cultural thing, and I'm not here to tell
you. Not just cultural, it's poverty as well. You know, like, sometimes poverty and sometimes not. Even it's happened in high society as well.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's gone from, UK or America, and they like a girl could be like 15, 14 in high school, then, okay, my girl will have a good life in UK, my girl off. And I work with lots of girls came here, getting married early from good families, not poor families. I know if a dad go 5, 6 children and lots of girls, they'll say, okay, doesn't matter, it's old man, I'll get her married off. So she'll have money and she'll live a better life than living with me. That's the concept for poverty. But girls who came here, they came from good family. They were a student, but their family get them married off because he's a British citizen. Therefore, he will be able to, look after her. Where some of the citizen could be a drug dealer. Domestic violence. That's where I picked up domestic violence from. A lot of girls come here facing domestic violence because they're married to a British citizen.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone's watching, can I just interject here? I mean, if anyone's watching and they have any comments or what their thoughts on the topics that we're covering, which is FGM, forced marriages and arranged marriages, please do put them in the comments box, especially for those who come back on the replay. So what are some of the signs of forced marriages? If you're here, because what I hear in the media is, if you're at school, and they tend to, during the summer holidays or something like that, they'll take a child over and say that they're going to visit family and friends and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's actually to arrange a marriage. So could you explain a little bit about that?
So, holiday time, yeah. So now, I mean, forced marriage is part of school curriculum as well. Teacher talks about it's also part of child protection now that, any forced marriages, anything, any case identified. So teachers, social workers, youth workers, anybody in the community, friends and family, anybody knows that need to be immediately reported. Children get protected as soon as, official get identified. They can take protection order, social service can take protection order, work with families as well. There's lots of education works happen as well, for that. I'll give you an example. In UK, 2018, 1,507 cases were identified. Out of that, 46% were Pakistani girls. Pakistani community, there's a huge forced marriage going on.
Right.
Bangladeshi community, 10, 15 years back, it was huge in Bangladeshi community as well. But Bangladeshi community gone down to 9% now. Pakistani community remained 46%. Out of the 1,500 cases, 34% were under the age of 18.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's very difficult to get your head around, isn't it? Because when you look at your child or your daughter, and you see that they're under 18, they can...
To think
that they're going to be ended up being married. It's very difficult to get your head around, Can I just say hi to a few people that jumped on? I'd like to say hi to V Roberts, who jumped on to say hello and to support us. And Linda Atom has jumped on to say hi. Thanks for joining
us. Hi, Linda.
And Elizabeth
Lucas. Hi, Elizabeth.
Has also joined us. And Beverly Williamson. Hi, Bev, has also joined us as well. please, if you have any questions to ask Beryl, please do drop them in the comments box. I mean, what are your thoughts on the topic that we're covering? Or, you know, we're currently talking about forced marriages. And in our schools today, as we said, it's part of the curriculum, isn't it? Do you know what subject it's taught in? Is it the PSHE?
It's part of the PSHE.
Right, PSHE. Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the signs? What are the...
Yeah, so children, children sometimes start to hear at home, like we're going holiday. Mm. And some people hear, some people have been told, some children have been told, you're going to get married to your cousin. I mean, main reason girls get married in back home or boys is bringing cousins. Mm. Cousins, marrying relative is because of economic reason. So then the boy can come here, earn money and send it to family. The family pressure, so they get lots of pressure from relative. Or can I have your girl for my son? Can I have your boy, take right. my girl? So it's a family pressure. The marriage is in the family, it's not outside. You know, it is for economic reason. But for me, it's shocking that it still is a high percentage in Pakistani community, where the campaign in Bangladeshi community has been very effective. Nowadays, I hardly hear any marriage taking place in Bangladesh. All the marriage has been here. Also, there has been huge education process going on. So girls and boys now studying. They are not. I mean, when I was growing up in Tamales, I was the only Bangladeshi girl out of 75 students in my university, of my year group, mm-hmm. My accounting course. Hardly any girls went to university that time. I'm not talking about long term, I'm talking about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 10, 15 years, there was a huge work went behind. And mm-hmm. that's been really effective. Also, the legislation then made it that everybody have to earn certain threshold to sponsor their spouse. That mm-hmm. helped.
Right, right, right. Okay, yeah. So we're going to round it up now. Sure. I know that time goes by quite quickly. Yeah. So what advice would you give anyone out there, any woman or even a man listening, what advice would you give in terms of...
First of all, to understand that, marriage is a blessing. It's two people consent. Mm. So, if it's your girl... You are their protector, not their abuser. If you force mm-hmm. your girl and boy to getting married, that means abusing your child. Now is a criminal under Antisocial Behavior Act, Crime and Policing Act, 2014, is forced marriage is a criminal act.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a forced marriage unit who provide leaflet and support. Also, the Foreign Commonwealth Office overseas number as well. The forced marriage unit is 0207-0880151. Social services, schools. So if you are aware of it, make sure you tell the teacher, tell anybody in social services, there's a multi-agency framework now on that. So yeah. Make sure, if you are a community member, if you are aware of it, make sure you report it. Don't mm-hmm. ignore it. Because there is support available. And people see social service as a negative. I work for social service. It's not negative. They want family to be united.
Of course.
They don't take away your child. I mean, yeah. There's a huge fear in our community, Asian community, African community. Oh, as soon as we involve social service, they're going to take my child away. Actually, not. I work for 30 years.
But I think things are getting better. I think, people are starting slowly but surely, to start talking about it. They have stopped sweeping things under the carpet. It's going to take a while, isn't it? I mean, and these issues didn't happen overnight. They go back decades, years, So it will take time, but we just need to have this open dialogue about it, and that it is abuse, forced marriage in FGM, it is abuse, particularly against the child. And it's something that we need to stop sweeping under the carpet. So, Beryl, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there any last words that you want to give? You're going to put the details in the comments box afterwards. So is there any... how can people...
I just want to say, everybody, we all need to work together. We all need to raise awareness against the, criminal activity. And it is girls' human rights. It is a human right as a woman, is and our duty to protect our children, girls and boys equally. Forced marriage happen on boys as well, but 75% are girls, so it still is a huge number. you know, is our duty. We are the protector, you know, as a parents, our duty to protect our children, not to force them into marriage. Mother, become strong. You can raise your voice against your husband. Because sometimes Pakistani women, what I've seen is the husband who actually forcing mothers doesn't have a say. So I will say that, mom, you know, be there for your girl. It's your girl.
Yeah.
You give birth, you need to protect your girl. Nobody else will.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to end it on that note. Thank you so much for joining me and highlighting and creating awareness around this issue. I think, as you know, well, we both know that it should be talked about more. So the more that we talk about it, the more it doesn't become such a taboo subject. And on that note, thank you very much. Until next time.
So, thank you, Jacqueline.
Take care. All right. Bye.
Okay, so that was my interview with Parul, very informative interview about forced marriages. So that's the end of my podcast. So if you have been affected by any of these issues, please do not suffer in silence. Please do reach out to maybe family or friends or contact the relevant, if you're in the UK, it's the Domestic Abuse Helpline on 0808 2000 247. And that's it for now. Take care until next time. Bye-bye.